Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And it's a continuation on the most wonderful time of the year because we are hot guys on Hawkeye.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
We are back to back, much like on Disney Plus with Hawkeye. I'm joined by Wesley Sykes. I'm Goo.
Hello, hello.
And we jump right into episode 2 of Hawkeye, picking up as soon as episode 1 ends with Who the Hell Are You? Before we get into any timelining or how we feel about the episode, who is introduced, by the way, spoilers, who is introduced into this episode, Wes?
So we get a couple, not too many introductions here, if I'm not mistaken, right? Just a couple of the tracksuit guys.
Some faceless goons.
And then at the very end, I don't know if we want to do it. We're doing spoilers galore here. We get Alakwa. Is that how you pronounce her name? Alakwa Cox?
Playing Echo.
Yes, Maya Lopez there, which actually kind of, I thought for a quick second, I had a little bit of a glare on my screen, much like you might be able to see right now.
It was the braids. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Olivia Munn?
No, I thought.
That's who I thought it was.
I had a glare on mine, and I thought it was Florence Pugh for a second because of the braids.
Oh, okay, okay.
But so I guess we're on different pages. Though. I'm sorry. We were wrong talking about each other. But yes. She is a deaf Native American actress. She's playing Maya Lopez, a.k.a. Echo. And pretty much she is a member of the Cheyenne Nation of Native Americans. And she is like an underling of Kingpin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. And I think they're related, right? Daughter, stepdaughter, niece, nephew, something like that.
Would you call a pawn an underling? I feel like that's similar. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah. A pawn is the first one to go down. You know? They can only move forward one step at a time.
This is really introducing a Kingpin. And I think it's safe to say it's going to be Vincent D'Onofrio's.
Well, if you like his Twitter account, if you follow his Twitter account at all, I believe he's been leaving a little bit of crumbs, much like Hansel and Gretel.
So, like, not even breadcrumbs. He's leaving giant loafs.
Yeah, he's dropping loaves everywhere.
Like, he's eating them too, but he's dropping loaves on the side.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I think he's like, I'm very excited. I love these MCU shows, or I think you're going to love them too. Something to that effect. So I think we're all expecting that. Of course, there's some reports out this week that Daredevil is going to be attached to four MCU properties, including his own, Echo being one of them as well.
Yeah.
So that could be very interesting. There's a lot of ties there, of course, with Kingpin, Daredevil, Echo, all that stuff. So.
And Maya was originated. She was the superhero alter ego of Ronan in the comics.
Oh, what does that mean? So she also
just a nod, maybe?
She also wore the Ronan suit. Okay. All right, that's cool.
Find out in this that Clint actually took on that mantle from her or something. Who knows?
Ooh, I like that. So yeah, maybe when he left, she tried to take it up, and that's how she lost the suit.
So do you have any more nuts and bolts before we do a little thoughts on the episodes?
No, I think that's just about it. You know, yeah. I mean, if we want to talk about an overall series synopsis, which we might have missed on the first episode here, but of course, yeah, we know the deal. But for those who may not be, it's a former Avenger, Clint Barton. You're familiar. Has seemingly a simple mission. Get back to his family for Christmas. Possible? Maybe with the help of Kate Bishop, a 22-year-old archer with dreams of becoming a superhero, Goo. That's right. The two are forced to work together when a presence from Barton's past threatens to derail far more than the festive spirit. Oh.
Ooh, festive spirit. So this episode, I thought, was a perfect continuation onto episode 1. And even maybe the lulls that you might think where it's Kate and her family, I thought gave some great background into Jack, where it's almost like they're setting him up as the villain, but he's got to be the red herring here, right?
Yeah, whether it's Jack or Eleanor as the red herring, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. The first time we see Eleanor in present day, she's in a red dress.
And red is an evil color. It's a popping color.
Well, it's also a red herring.
Oh, hello.
Like literally a red herring, right? So maybe. And of course, and we find out, you said the little history on the Back family and stuff. They own Bishop Security. So it's like a high, what is it? Like fortress, cybersecurity.
And they can tap into people's cell phones and find where they are. Big brother, am I right?
More like little sister with Kate Bishop, huh?
Look who I'm talking to.
Oh, geez. That was not my best work here. But you know, we persevere on, much like this episode, because it picks up immediately after the conclusion of episode one. We see Clint kind of finishing off the sentence. I'm Hawkeye. Who are you? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. He saves Kate. They get ambushed once again by the tracksuit mafia.
Molotov cocktails.
Everywhere, yeah. Bro. Yeah, that's a fun time. That's a fun group, too. I know that was supposed to be, like, from the comic book people out there were like, the tracksuit mafia is going to be in this. You're going to love them. Mm-hmm. I love them.
Yeah, I do too, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Bro.
So they're like they're Russian, but they're like kind of like I don't know, like Long Island bros, like Italian
so
bros.
So the way that I look at it is that they're Russian, and maybe they watched television to learn English, much like in WandaVision.
Sure.
And they got up to a certain point. Maybe they were watching something like Jersey Shore, and they just adapted, bro.
I like that. Well, it's in New York City, Long Island. You know, that's a big bro culture there. I could see that. Okay. All right. But they lose the suit here, which I think is the most important thing, the fire retardant suit. They leave it there. They save the dog. We see some cool action, Clint throwing a Molotov cocktail back at them, which like that has to be up there on things that I would like to accomplish in my life that I know I never will.
That's like a real...
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would. And in this episode, I also love, this is also awesome, is the back and forth between Kate and Clint. And I love when she asked him to sign her bow.
Yes, this is a real Planes, Trains, and Automobiles type of, not will they or won't they, but odd couple type of pairing.
Right. So we then, before we leave the apartment, we do get the line that Tony sold the Avengers Tower. And I'm curious to, we're going to find out who bought it soon. Maybe we'll find that out in like a Spider-Man movie or something. And before we get into any further in this timeline, my thoughts on the overall episode, another 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I give this a little boost up, a little bit better than the 87 out of 100. I'm right there with you, though, 90 out of 100. Again, exactly what we want, advancing the story. So it's almost like I was wondering whether we should separate the grades because I watched these back-to-back like most people will. Do you just group them in as one large episode?
I kind of did, and maybe I did that with my scores. Like maybe you could split like two one way, two the other, but I really like the introduction into this show, into these characters.
What's the deal with Jack and Eleanor, do you think? Jack, this weird triangle between, formerly Armand the Third, Jack and Eleanor.
I don't know.
Because we see, like, them, in the first episode, Eleanor and Armand, there's some sort of threatening kind of conversation going on there. And then Jack and Armand have some kind of way of words, a little bit of verbal jousting.
Yeah.
Armand ends up dead. And now we see these two kind of scheming together. And I'm trying to figure out what their deal is.
So let me toss this hypothetical at you. If Jack did kill Armand, do you think that Eleanor knew?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think she's in. She seems like someone who is like, if we're talking about chess pieces with pawns earlier, right? She's the queen. She knows where all the pieces are on the table. She can move everywhere at once, right? So that's kind of what I'm getting here.
So
the queen pin, if
after
you will.
Kate's apartment goes up in flames, which we find out is inherited, she then goes to her friend's apartment. She's away for the holiday. And they ring a bell for Brandon Moira. Will that play into this? I don't know who that is. I just saw those
from
names.
From what I was reading a quick synopsis of the episode. And that's supposed to be a callback to the comics and some old actress who ends up becoming like, I don't know, something with the West Coast Avengers and selling the home. It's some sort of like, very deep cut Easter egg that would go above our heads there.
More fun back and forth between Clint and Kate and, hey, don't bother calling me. If you call me too much, I'm going to have you blocked. And they go through New York.
Kind of a stage five clinger.
And you have the kid that says, hey, it's a superhero. And then he looks at the people in New York, which I love.
It's all like Katniss Everdeen and all that stuff too. And when they're at the aunt's apartment, if we could circle back to that real quick.
Circle back.
You mentioned the name, right, on the apartment listing there. Mm-hmm. It was Brandon Moira. But also, that poster that seems to be centered in the living room there says Creature from a Dark Galaxy. Mm. And again, very, if you just rewatched Shang-Chi recently, Eternals, whatever those dark forces are, that seems to be like a nod of what's going to be happening in the cosmic realm later on in the MCU.
So at this point, we find out that the Ronin outfit has been taken by a LARPer. And the entire LARPing scene with Clint is perfect with his personality.
I thought it was awesome, right? And he's like, he's such a nice guy. He doesn't really want to, like, he could easily just be like, let me go through there, but he's wants to play within the rules, so he just does it. I think that's fun.
Because going into it, I was like, we're going to do LARPing here. That was kind of a joke, what, 15, 20 years ago? But Clint's personality offset with grills over here was very, very fun.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. I did kind of miss that connection real quick. Like, okay, so he sees the sticker on the fire truck of the New York City LARPers. So that's what tips him off that the jacket, like that someone from the fire department picked up the Ronin suit. And then he goes and searches out New York City LARPers, finds a video online of this guy who is a firefighter. Is that?
Well, we all know this is that all firefighters are thieves and LARPers.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, ask your co-host, your other co-host about that.
My less popular show. Yep.
Yes, of course. So I didn't really follow that, but I thought that was a bit of a stretch, you know, but I guess if that, you know, for the sake of the show, that's got to work.
And now it's time for an inside joke with the DSG, and the Viking that we see at the LARPing looks just like Doc from TLDR.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There, who's making the sword sounds. He's like, ting. He's like a tuning fork, you know. That's great stuff. So he gets the suit, right?
Yes, he gets the suit back.
And again, Clint, very nice guy. Like, everyone knows who he is, like, or seemingly knows who he is, and they just kind of come up to him, and he's like, hey, you're a nice guy, just call me Clint, you know. They like exchange Facebook after that, you know.
So before we get too much into Clint, let's go back to Jack and Eleanor talking with Kate, and Jack is kind of like leaving some breadcrumbs along of like, hey, I'm, you know, maybe did I kill him? Who knows? But he also talks about being a stepdad book. And this scene between him and Kate at the Bishop Tower, at the Bishop security area, I like Jack now. This specific scene, I like Jack now.
Yeah, it's a he's a very interesting character. He's kind of like an international man of mystery. You don't really know, again, what his deal is. And
he's
and
not
he's kind
quite
of
the Dos Equis guy, but he's close.
Right, but he's there. I mean, he's a top flight swordsman, as we find out here.
Fucking swordsman.
Yeah, and you know, that duel that, you know, they had the verbal jousting for a little bit, then that actually escalates to a real-life fencing duel, which is kind of cool. And then again, like, Vera Farmiga doesn't really care about any of this. She's just too busy pouring another glass of wine.
But does the sword stuff, once again, make it too obvious that he killed Armand?
Yeah, I think they want you to point to that. Now, like, it may end up that he did kill Armand, but maybe he was forced to by an upper, stronger hand, you know, some a higher up. But I think that they intentionally want to lead you to that. But again, Eleanor is holding on to some stuff. I don't trust her as far as I can throw her.
So now let's go back to Clint, where he wants to get caught. He does get caught. And we also find out it is 5 days until Christmas, which I believe will be important in the timeline of this story.
I would imagine that each episode is a day.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. 6 days, right? 6 episodes.
Well done. That's why you're here.
I got my internet sleuth cap on here.
Oh, speaking of sleuths, Jack also has a butterscotch, which, once again, that's what was in Armand's apartment. And butterscotch hard candies are delicious.
Yeah, and it was a classic old guy, right, to have butterscotches there. But a nice, classy, rich guy move to have the monogrammed name on there. Mm-hmm. You know, that was always nice. You get those monogram backpacks as a kid, the L.O. Bean. Always the cool kids.
Kate tracks down Clint with the cell phone. Once again, big brother, little sister. You know, real easy to follow. Almost too easy. I feel like Clint should have something in his phone that would allow people not to track him. But we also did find out in Captain America Boys that Avengers don't necessarily have special treatment. So maybe not.
Right. That's true. But you would think he would, working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and intelligence and covert stuff, that he would know how to like kind of go off the grid there. You know, he gives Kate a burner phone and the NYPD immediately call her.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of
weird.
Maybe
he's just bad
right?
at that stuff. Maybe because he's not the spy. Maybe he always relied on Nat for that type of stuff. Which, by the way, a big theme of these first two episodes is him missing Nat. Not a huge, like, that isn't the big focal point, but there's reminders throughout both episodes that, you know, he kind of misses Nat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's definitely, you're paying homage to that to a degree. But even going back to, like, the burner phone thing, I'm sorry, I hung up on this still. Kate works for a securities company. Like, don't you think that she would know something, like a VPN, something like that? Like, I don't know. Nick and picks.
Now let's get back to the Nat thing. I think that when Yelena shows up, that'll bring more of the Nat stuff to him.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, of course, right? Because that's kind of where we left off with Yelena from Black Widow, right? She's kind of going to be tracking down Clint because she thinks that's who killed Natasha.
Now we get to the fun captive scene, and bro, lots of bros in here. Can I talk to your manager? Which wasn't as cringy of a line as it seemed in the trailer. So hats right. off to them.
Yes.
And we get Kate popping in where she's like, oh shit, you guys brought guns?
Yeah, and she, again, kind of getting to a little bit of mischief here. Shouldn't be causing any trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, we see Clint is doing the catch-and-release tactic that Natasha kind of taught him. Linda Cardellini kind of points that out when they have a little conversation yeah. on the phone. And kind of spoils everything, right? So they end up really getting caught up. And then we see a shady character who appears to be a guy kind of up in the next level there. Clint kind of calls out to him. I was wondering if that was the voice that was on the phone when Kate is trying to get a hold of Clint. Mm-hmm. But then we see one of the tracksuit mafia higher-ups go into the back room, which looks like a production studio. And then we see a producer's hands lower the music, and it's Maya Lopez Echo there.
Echo, Maya's superhero identity reflects who she was before her troubling childhood under Kingpin's thumb. Her powers give her photographic reflexes, allowing her to mimic any movement after seeing it once.
Taskmaster.
So kind of like Taskmaster.
Okay, that's kind of cool, but again, this is what Taskmaster should have been. So like now we're just getting the same villain twice. I'm a little annoyed by that here. This seems almost like a Gamora-type story as
but
well.
But maybe will they fix it and make it better?
Possibly. I love it. Yeah, this isn't lowering my grade at all. This is just minor stuff. But as we're talking through it, that's
kind of
lame.
It kind of is, but maybe it'll be different. This is just from an article. Maybe the article's wrong.
Hey, there we go. I like that.
I don't want to cite my sources. Fake news.
No. We don't have to do that.
All right. So do you have any Easter eggs? You got any questions?
No. So we had the Creature of the Dark Galaxy movie poster there. And I was wondering who Jack Duquesne is here. So this is per Marvel Wiki. I'll share my sources here. He's an expert swordsman, as we mentioned, who used to work in the same circus as Clint. And actually, in the comic books, Jack kind of raises Clint and teaches him to be a part of the act. And then they have some sort of falling out. They're kind of like frenemies in and out of the comics. He's a big time gambler, so he's always in debt. So maybe he's a risk taker. I think that's what that shows. And he's a big crime guy.
Yeah,
that's a lot of crimes.
Everyone loves crime.
Works with the Mandarin at some points throughout the comics. So that could be interesting there. Or maybe the Ten Ring Syndicate. Because I believe also in the comic books, at least the one that they're adapting the most of, the Hawkeye run. I think it was a 2012 Hawkeye run. I could be mistaken on that. We have to talk to the TLDR guys about that. But the impetus of that is that a lot of the black market auctions happened in what is Madripoor.
Madripoor. Yeah. So
we're seeing all this like crime stuff, this underground crime world's kind of connecting.
I like this.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Right. And I mean, that's kind of what Ronan was dealing with in Endgame. He was dealing with the underground crime. It was we saw a lot of stuff in Japan, really, with the Yakuza.
The Yakuza.
Yeah. So maybe that, because we did get the tidbit ahead of this that Clint will have to deal with what he did as Ronan in this show.
Yeah, and I think he even mentions that, right? He's like, the person who was in this suit made a lot of enemies now that are coming back. They thought he was gone or something to that effect.
Any more thoughts?
No, I'd like it. I'm excited to see where this goes.
I'm stoked.
I would love to see... something like Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio coming back in here. To what degree, I'm not really sure. I bet maybe final episode, end credit thing, but who knows?
And 9 out of 10 once again for me, and credit to this episode, because usually when you have that big reveal at the end, that overtakes your thought of the entire episode. That's not the case here.
No, right. We always talk about that too, right? If like the end credit scene or the big reveal at the end is the best part, then it's probably not that great of an episode. But this has a lot of well balanced to it. And hopefully, fingers crossed, Eleanor Bishop goes. She just dies at some point. She's got to go.
What episode do you want her dead?
Three? Is three
you
possible?
Want her next
is too
episode?
Soon?
Too soon. Yeah. Maybe four. Possibly five. And maybe Jack kills her. Ooh,
maybe just
prediction.
Slip a little something
Jack
in her Chardonnay. I like that. That's good. He wants to get the money, right? That's kind of he was thinking like he's hit the jackpot, as Armand said.
Jackpot.
Oh, I see what we're doing. We're putting words together. We're a wordsmith. He's a swordsman who worked with a blacksmith. Blacksmith, Black Knight, Eternals, Eternal Knight, Moon Knight. I don't know where else we're going here.
Guys, we just cracked the case.
Just think about it.
Wide
it all links
open.
To Moon Knight.
All right, so that'll do it for this episode of Hot Guys on Hawkeye. And sadly, you'll have to wait one more week to get to episode 3. Wesley, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.